Merged together, and it seems like a great time for another look at our mission statement and the DNA of our church. It might help you answer the question, like I said earlier, is Kingfisher a church that I could get involved in? Is it a place that I want to be part of? Well, here is what we believe God called us to do as a church way back in 1993. So we've actually just celebrated our 24th birthday this week, everybody. Yeah. Now, so much has changed since then in terms of people and approach and style. And we've never been a place that prizes just holding on to something because that's always the way we've done it. But what hasn't changed is our mission. If you know it, you can recite it with me. You ready? Reaching lost people and seeing them transformed into fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. Absolutely. It's a statement of being that is absolutely rooted in the last words of Jesus that Matthew records in chapter 28 of his book. So listen to this, Matthew 28. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I've given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Those verses in Matthew are entitled the Great Commission. A commission is an authoritative order. It's a charge, it's a direction, it's what every one of us who calls himself or herself a follower of Jesus, it's what we have been given to do. It's our assignment, it's our employment, it's our instruction, it's what we've been trusted with. You know, our mission statement is what has kept us grounded as a church over the years, as we have considered with anything we do, really, does this fit in with the mission statement? Otherwise, we could get very busy and very distracted by doing lots of things, sometimes very good things, that have nothing to do with what Jesus has actually called us to do. So does anyone remember the catchphrase from Mission Impossible? Let me start you off. This is your mission if, should you choose to accept it. Yeah. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it. Just because you come along to Kingfisher Church, you might have been coming for years, doesn't necessarily mean you have signed up to the mission. But at some point, as you get to understand it, you have to decide whether this is a mission that you want to accept. So I'm praying that this month especially, January 2017, as we take a renewed look at our mission statement, that we would all jump on board in more tangible ways. That's what I'd love to see. You know, in the Mission Impossible TV series and in the films, the missions they were given did, in fact, look pretty impossible, didn't they? And I'm sure it felt the same for the disciples when Jesus first gave them these instructions. You know, as yet, these disciples had not been filled with the Holy Spirit. They didn't yet know the power of God indwelling them. Go to all nations? You know, many of these guys were local fishermen. Previous to the resurrection, they had gone into hiding. In verse 15 of Matthew 28, it says that they'd come to the mountain to worship Jesus, but even seeing him in the flesh, it says that some of them doubted him. They don't sound like the most likely group to go and change the world, do they? And yet, that is precisely what happened. Mission impossible, maybe. But listen again to those last few words of Jesus. He said, "And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Be sure of this, I am with you always. Now we need to be sure of this. Unless we are sure of this, it's unlikely that we will even embark on the mission. Do you know that Jesus is with you? Or are you still doubting? Have you been filled with the Holy Spirit? Or are you still trying to do this Christian journey on your own terms? You know, without Jesus, it's mission impossible for sure. But with Jesus, mission impossible becomes mission impossible. I know you like that saying. Anything becomes possible, but it's a co-mission. In partnership with Jesus himself is the only way that this is going to work. You know, back in 1993, there were just a handful of us meeting in the back room of a tire factory on Eastern Avenue. Most of us, if we're honest, were full of doubt and hurt. Many of us had experience of church that wasn't that great. But we were caught by a vision of what God might be able to do with a bunch of people that were just sold out to him. Has it been an easy mission to fulfill over the last 24 years? Well, if you've been around in Kingfisher for any length of time, you'll know that it's been challenging for much of the journey. Not that there hasn't been great joy along the way, but it's been challenging nonetheless. You know, every blessing has come with a battle. Jesus didn't say to his disciples that this was going to be easy. In fact, for most of them, it would cost them their lives. But he did say that he would be with them. I'm not sure what impact I thought we would have back then. You know, I imagined greatness and success to be evident in big events and large congregations at some point in the future. But what I've discovered is that that is a terrible measure of how well we are fulfilling the mission. Instead, I've come to value the trademarks of faithfulness and commitment and perseverance and patience in the core and doing the small things over a long period of time as a much better gauge of whether we are heading in the right direction. So over the course of this next couple of weeks, if you'll bear with me, I want to break down our mission statement into three parts. Reaching the lost, believing for transformation, and pursuing full devotion. You know, interestingly, none of these are achieved quickly. 24 years in, and in many ways, it feels like we are just getting going. Because relationships and trust, they take time to build. Transformation is much more of a process than it is an event. And full devotion, or growing up as a Christian, is a maturing process that cannot be rushed. There is no such thing as microwave maturity, much as we want everything to happen quickly. But for those who have stayed the course, and those who have taken increasing and daring steps of faith, we have seen more and more the mission of our church beginning to bear fruit, both locally and internationally. So I just want us to check out a glimpse, and it really is just a glimpse, of some of the things that have happened just over this last year through the work of Kingfisher. Have a look at this. Well, I'll carry on, and we'll get that going, even if we watch it at the end, all right? I was going to say that that really is just a snapshot of the many different groups and activities that happen here over any given week, both here and down at Westgate Street. And that's not including things like our Connect groups and the support that happens. And I'm not sure that I could have imagined all that back in 1993. You know, at the time we were just a Sunday congregation and one home group, and that was it. And reaching the lost amounted to trying to get people to come to church. But what is it meant to look like? If that is the first part of our mission statement, reaching the lost, how do we do it? Well, my point of reference is always Jesus. Always. This is mission him possible. It's about him. The last words he spoke as recorded by John, we're in a conversation with the disciple Peter, where he says, "You follow me." Interestingly, Peter's first response was to look at the disciple John and say, what about him? You know, we're not so different, are we? Jesus calls us to follow him, to be like him. And yet so often we find ourselves looking at what other people are doing and comparing ourselves. It's such an easy trap to fall into as we look at what other churches might be doing, for example, or how others are reaching people with the gospel, whether that be in huge evangelistic crusades or high-tech, highly polished church services. Obviously not here. But God hasn't called us to look like anyone other than his son Jesus. This is what Jesus said. He said, the person who trusts me will not only do what I'm doing, but even greater things. Because I, on my way to the Father, am giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. I'm giving you the same work to do that I've been doing. You can count on it. From now on, whatever you request along the lines of who I am and what I'm doing, I'll do it. Do you think we got it, James? Should we give it another go before I continue? Like I said, just a little snapshot, really, of everything that happens here Monday to Sunday. So we're looking at how Jesus reached the lost. And we need to start looking at how he did it before we start comparing how other people do it. So here's what I can see. His point number one, he got up close and personal. Yes, there were times where Jesus attracted great crowds. And there were times where he withdrew by himself to pray. But he was never too busy to stop and get involved with people's everyday lives. He met people where they were. He went to them rather than sitting and expecting them to come to him. He gave his complete time and attention to an individual person, and often to people that would normally be shunned. There are so many examples of this in the Gospels. And here's one example. In one of the villages, Jesus met a man with an advanced case of leprosy. And when the man saw Jesus, he bowed with his face to the ground, begging to be healed. Lord, he said, if you're willing, you can heal me and make me clean. Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, he said. You know, that would have been unheard of back then. Lepers were outcasts, unclean, and you certainly didn't get close enough to touch them in case you were infected. But Jesus did. And he said, I'm giving you the same work to do that I have been doing. You follow me. Who are the outcasts in our society? I wonder. Who are the people that God wants us to get up close and personal with? I mean, some examples. What about refugees and asylum seekers? Or the homeless? Or the addict? Or those suffering serious mental health issues? Am I willing to get involved in the mess of people's lives? And what's clear in his point number two, when it comes to Jesus, he valued those who, by the world standards, were not important. At the time, that included women, children, beggars, the ill. He didn't exclude the rich and the well-to-do. You can go read about the meetings he had with people like the rich young ruler or the prominent religious leader called Nicodemus. I mean, he gave them time too. Everyone was important to Jesus, but he made an extra effort for those who were considered the least. Like when he went out of his way to be in the right place at the right time for one Samaritan woman whose life was blighted by shame and guilt. And when Jesus started a conversation with her, this is what we read. It says that the woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. And she said to Jesus, you're a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? I mean, the impact of that one conversation that Jesus had with her changed the whole village. We may never know the impact of the divine conversations that we have, but we read that many believed in Jesus. And when they begged him to stay, he did for two more days. And it says it was long enough for many more to hear his message and believe. You know, it's worth noting that Jesus remained present. He didn't rush off to the next big thing. Number three was he had the margin to be interrupted. You know, consider blind Bartimaeus. He was a beggar outside the city of Jericho who tried to get the attention of Jesus who was passing by. And the people who were with Jesus told Bartimaeus to be quiet because obviously Jesus had far more important things to be attending to. And yet here's what we read. When Jesus heard him, he stopped and he said, tell him to come here. And he didn't presume on what Bartimaeus might want. I mean, look at the dignity he showed him. He said, what do you want me to do for you? How many times do we presume on what people might need rather than what they actually need? And have you or I got time in our schedules to be interrupted? Most of us are living at such a hectic pace that we're in danger of missing out on the really important God moments, those one-to-one, human-to-human interactions that God uses and values the most. You know, on a Wednesday at the Cavern, I run a music group for people in recovery from mental health issues and substance misuse issues. And for a couple of people who come, it is literally the only thing they do in their week. It's the only time they interact with other people. And there have been times when only two people have turned up on a Wednesday. Is it still worth my precious time? Absolutely. Of course it is. You know, if we're going to reach the lost effectively, then here's what I've learned from Jesus and from the past 24 years of Kingfisher being in existence, that we need to take time with people. Time is the most valuable commodity that we have. Invest it in people. Create those meeting points. You know, community is a massive buzzword around these parts. And we must never underestimate or devalue the importance of spending time with people. The measuring point of effectiveness in our church, from my perspective, is not about how many people turn up for a meeting, so much as how many of those people are willing to give their time and attention to value the one person that God is wanting to reach. So over the years, as you saw on the screen, we've created community spaces where people can come together, whether that be kids groups or parent support groups or coffee mornings or connect groups or discos and performing arts groups for adults with learning difficulties, right through to launching a social enterprise, and through that the emergence of a shop and the Cavern, and now other community spaces are opening up, places where people can meet, where relationships and trust can be built. That's what it's about. Where support can be given. You know, so many people, including a lot of Christians actually, have not understood things like youth night at the Cavern because it's not overtly evangelistic in its approach. But it does attract very lost people with lots of issues. It isn't your typical Christian youth group. But you know, it was never meant to be a Christian ghetto exclusively for Christian kids, but a place where lost people can be reached. How else will we ever reach the lost if we stay behind our church walls? And if we don't create those meeting places, who will? You know, surely it is the church's place to be at the heart of society and promoting community values. You know, there's so many stories now coming out of the Cavern of youth who are experiencing acceptance and love and a sense of belonging as people have come alongside them. And conversations about faith have naturally happened as trust has been built. You know, ultimately people do want to know what drives someone to freely give of their time to volunteer in a place like the Cavern. But, you know, that trust is earned. It takes time. People are much more likely to listen, though, if they know that you truly care. Support at the Cavern, you might have heard of this, started in July. It now happens every evening between 6 and 11, every night. It's staffed by volunteers, mostly from Kingfisher. It was not set up as a ruse to convert people to Christianity. There is no hidden agenda here. We really do provide what it says on the tin. And it really is a place to support people with mental health issues and to help prevent people from going into a crisis. That's what that place is for. But you know, relationships do develop as people start to experience real community. And it's been so good to see some of those people now starting to explore faith for themselves. But it takes us valuing the individual more than the crowd and being willing to give our time to sit with the one and be present like Jesus. You know, time and attention really is the most precious thing you can give anyone, the thing that has the greatest impact. I don't know if you listen to Radio 1, but over last year, they had this target of trying to get people to sign up for volunteer. And they wanted, by the end of the year, to have 1 million hours of volunteers signing up. And they did. They achieved it. But they recognized the value of giving time. I mean, could you get involved with some of our groups here or at the Westgate buildings? Do you have some time that you could give to reach people who might never come through the doors of our church, but people who God so desperately loves? Now, reaching the lost is not dependent on how much Bible knowledge you have or how spiritual you feel, but how willing you are to get alongside people. You know, as church, we can create those meeting places. That's what we've done over the years. But it takes each of us to play our part. Be present and be faithful. You know, the disciples needed to know that Jesus was with them. That was his final promise to them. And in the same way, people need to know that you are here for them for the long haul and not just until the next exciting thing comes along to take you away. That's not to say that God might not call you somewhere else or to do something else, but stay faithful until he does. The work of Treasure Seekers, the social enterprise, it's established over 10 years. It's been a long process, hasn't it, Katie? But it's been the faithfulness of people like Katie and Craig and Jan, especially, alongside a committed core of volunteers who have made such an impact, who've seen such a major work established. You know, one of the thumbprints on Kingfisher has been the way that it has got alongside disadvantaged people. You know, in ways that, you know, I haven't seen before in churches that I've been part of. We are known around Gloucester and around the churches of Gloucester, actually. We're known for our work with learning disabilities. We're known for our work with mental health. You know, it's part of our identity now as a church. Is that something that you want to be part of too? You know, one of the first passages of Scripture that I ever preached from was Ephesians 5, verses 1 to 2. It's one of my life-defining verses that I keep coming back to again and again. And it sums up what I've been trying to say this morning. This is your mission, should you choose to accept it, all right? This is what we read. Watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Mostly what God does is love you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but extravagant. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. Love like that. Giving of yourself. Extravagantly. Doing what Jesus does. But we do it in company with him. You know, the mission becomes him possible as we keep our eyes on Jesus. He said that he had come to seek and to save the lost. And that was ultimately demonstrated as he literally gave up his life for us by dying on the cross. And now if you are a Christian here this morning, you are the found. Isn't that amazing? And we get to go and do what Jesus started. He said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, and the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come." It's the fulfillment of a prophecy. He made all that possible. And I am so grateful for the people who gave up their time to get alongside me, who showed God's love to me, changed my life. In the same way, to get that message out, we've got to get up close and personal with others too. We need to be amongst the captive. We need to be amongst the blind and the oppressed. We need to be where the need is to show people the favor of God, don't we? Will you seek the lost? Will you accept his mission? It's the question I'm going to be asking over the course of this next couple of weeks. But, you know, maybe you still feel lost yourself. Maybe you haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. Maybe you don't know Jesus is with you. Maybe you don't yet know his guiding presence in your life. But you can. And it only takes just praying to him. So why don't we stand together? And I'm going to pray. And if you want to know the guiding presence of Jesus in your life, if you want to know that his death and his resurrection counted for you, then just pray along with me something like this. Say, Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus to seek and to save me. And Lord, though I am lost, though I've been trying to do life my way, Lord, I turn towards you. I invite you to come into my life, to wash me clean, to forgive me, Lord, to set me on a path where I am doing your will, where I get to understand the purpose of why I'm here. So come and fill me with your Spirit. And I choose to follow you for the rest of my life. Amen. And Lord, I pray, Lord, for all those of us who are Christians who know you, I just pray that this would be a year where we'd really get on your agenda. Lord, we recognize that you've put a call on our lives. You've given us a mission to fulfill wherever we are positioned in life right now. And Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes to the opportunities. Lord, to the day-to-day, one-to-one conversations. And Lord, that as we open our mouths, I pray that your words would come out, that we would show people your grace, your love, your forgiveness, who you are. And Lord, I pray that this year we might reach more people than we've seen in the last 24 years. Lord, that lost people would discover what it means to be found. And Lord, I pray in your amazing name. Amen.